This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Welcome to Answers UK Radio. My name is Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And this is episode 23 of Answers UK Radio. It's the magazine-style radio program delivered by Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. You're very welcome to join us. As a creationist, as somebody who believes the entire Bible to be true, it's very gratifying to find that there are things in the Bible that talk to us about many of the contemporary issues that we're facing today. And as I'm recording this particular broadcast, my friend and colleague Carl Kirby is touring England at the moment. And one issue that's been very much on his heart that he's spoken about on many occasions is the subject of racism and what the Bible has to say about racism, why it's wrong, why it is that we can trace ourselves, all human beings, back to just our two ancestors, in fact our one ancestor actually, because of course Eve was taken out of Adam's side. So I thought I would take the opportunity to be able to sit down with Carl in the studio and discuss this very important issue that he's spoken on, and that's what we did a few days ago. And here's the interview that I had with Carl Kirby on the subject of what the Bible says about racism. Well, joining me in the multi-million pound Answers UK radio studio here is Carl Kirby. Carl's flown in from the United States to be with us. He's doing a tour of England this week. And where are you starting first, Carl?
Boy, I can't even tell you, Paul. You guys are just running me, man. I'm expecting you to just point me in the right direction and tell me when to start and stop.
You're going to be doing your first date when you get out of the van.
There you go. As soon as we get out, and you point me to wherever you want me to talk, and I'll go from there.
Well, I think it's Halifax we're taking you first.
Okay,
Halifax
good.
Is the first place, and that's in Yorkshire.
Okay, so, is that next to the pudding place, or?
Yes. Black puddings come from over the side of the Pennines in Lancashire. So, yeah, and then we're travelling around quite a bit. You're going to be in Southampton. You're going to be in Suffolk. I'm going to be in London as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good.
I'm excited. I really am. I had the privilege of being over here with you guys a few years ago, and it was just a blessing. It truly is. And thank you for all the hard work that you guys and the whole team here at AIG UK, what you're doing, and the folks that support you, man. If you're out there, you're one of the supporters. You guys are supporting a very good cause. Lift them up in prayer and get behind these guys. They need you.
That's great. Thanks for that. And it's great to have you over here. And we've got a number of talks that you do on DVD, and we could really talk about anything at all, really, today. There's a huge range of things. We played a clip, actually, on the last episode of Answers UK Radio. We played a clip where you were talking a little bit about your DVD called Genesis, the Bottom Strip of...
the bottom strip of the Christian faith. Yeah, it's kind of a weird one, you know. When I got saved, I was an air traffic controller at O'Hare, and while I was going through the training at O'Hare, they use a technique there where they teach controllers how to stay on top of working multiple aircraft. It is not used anywhere else, and reading the scripture, going through my training, it was kind of like, wow, here was this approach to being able to stay on top of our faith, because we are under attack and we have so many things coming at us. It's easy to lose sight and to lose focus sometimes.
Absolutely. And really, I wanted to look at the theme on another of the DVDs that you do, because it's a topic that we haven't really talked about on these programs before. You've got a DVD on the subject of racism.
Yeah.
Is there an answer? And it's a topic that's close to your heart. It's a topic that's close to my heart. But, you know, we're here in a creationist and an apologetics organization. Is this really something that we should be spending time talking about? Is there actually a reason from Genesis and from Scripture as to why we should be at all interested in this particular subject?
I'll tell you what, just look at the world around us. If we as Christians can't deal with this issue correctly, you can never expect the lost to deal with it correctly. And we live in a culture that is absolutely divided along quote-unquote racial lines. There's so many problems with this. And until we, the body of Christ, learn how to start from the Word of God, allowing it to be our authority and our standard to deal with this issue, you are never going to get the world to deal with it correctly. And if you don't start from Genesis, you can't deal with this issue in any way that's going to make sense. So it is absolutely vital to the church, because of the problems that we see in the world around us. And the reason we see the problems that we see in the world around us is because we, the body of Christ, dropped the ball. We quit using the Bible as our authority, and we let man's wisdom become the standard. And boy, have we made some mistakes because of that.
Well, this is a topic on which I've fielded many questions as I've gone around. Quite often, if I've had a question time after a talk, it's something that's come up in many churches. Particularly, I probably have to point out, in churches where all the faces are white around me, and they want to make a particular point. And it's therefore going to be something difficult that I need to address, we all need to address. Perhaps you could start then, Carl, with the biblical principles. What are the biblical principles when we address this particular issue?
You know, let me tell you a little story. I was on a live call-in television show in America, and the host was a black man. And it was very interesting to me that he was not a Christian, he was definitely not a creationist, and he was kind of asking questions in a manner that was kind of like taking jabs at me. And I'm not a super patient guy. I've got a lot of rough edges. And so he's taking those jabs at me. And I finally said to him, I said, Lincoln, would you give me the freedom to say something to you that I don't agree with, but it is consistent with your worldview, and promise to not get mad at me? And he looked at me kind of strange, and he goes, okay. I said, Lincoln, who do you think you are to question me? You're a black man. You're closer to the missing link than I am. I'm a white man. I'm more highly evolved than you are. And he just kind of went blank and stared at me. He was froze. And I said, now, Lincoln, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. But that is what your worldview teaches. That is consistent with your worldview. And it doesn't matter if you like it or if you agree with it, but that is what your worldview teaches. And you can't have my morality without my God. Now, as a Christian, what we need to do if we're going to deal with that question is say, what did God say on the topic? No more of what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? Because for too long, Christians have fallen into that trap of turning to people, well, what do you think about it? It doesn't matter what we think. What did God say? And he said in 1 Corinthians 15:45, first man, Adam, Genesis 3:20, Eve is called Eve because she is mother of all living. And Acts 17:26 talks about we are all of one blood. The Bible never talks about races other than running the good race, because there's no such thing as races.
So, no such thing as races. So, how many races are there in the world, races of human beings?
One race, the human race, and that's what we get very clearly from the Scripture. What we've taken to be races are, quote-unquote, those are little genetic differences between eye shape and hair texture and, quote-unquote, skin color. We can get into that, but you know, as I know, that everybody has the same skin color, and it's not the skin color that determines lightness and darkness. But we've all got the same skin color. There's one race, the human race.
Well, we'll get into some of those some complicated issues in a moment, because we'll want to look at those issues with biblical glasses. But we better start by putting our biblical glasses on. And you say that there is one race of people in the world. And I think we'll probably have something to say when we look at Acts chapter 17. Wouldn't that be, to be fair to say?
Yeah, Acts 17:26. Is that verse that says that we are all of one blood. And one of the things that I really like to point out to people is that when you start looking at people the way that God looked at people, it will change your whole perspective. Because think about what God said in Samuel. He said, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And when we look at people that way, God said every person on this planet is a sinner in need of a Savior named Jesus Christ, regardless of what they look like on the outside. And he loved and died for, he loved each and every one of us and died for each and every one of us, the same as he did for anybody else. So we've got to quit looking at people and making judgments based on external factors, which are minuscule.
Yes. I mean, we're not just making a sort of nice, in quotes, point here when we're saying that the human race is united, that there is one human race. You're making the point that we're all descended from Adam. And that's very important. It's not just important sort of to make us feel nice. It's actually important theologically, isn't it? I'm a member of a very multiracial church, which must be about one-third each approximately, if you want to put any labels on, one-third each approximately white, Asian, and West Indian, with one or two other nationalities as well. Now, as I look around on a Sunday at all the people in church, I am actually related to every single person that room, aren't I? Now, is there a theological reason why that's important? If we're all descended from Adam, we therefore have a relationship. Is there a theological reason why that's important?
Well, think about it. In my mind, the only way that you can have salvation is if you are a descendant of Adam.
Yes.
If you're not descended from Adam, then by one man's sin, by the last Adam, life. Jesus Christ, that last Adam that came and took the sins of the world. So if you're not descended from Adam, you're in trouble.
That's right. And in the Old Testament, we read, don't we, that the Redeemer has to be a relative. You see that in the book of Ruth, for example. The Redeemer has to be a relative. So if we're not all of the same race, if we're not all descended from Adam, then there'll be some people who can't be saved.
Hey, you see, Paul, I think that's a really key piece that a lot of Christians really miss, because I see so many Christians that are willing to compromise on the age of the earth. Oh, the age of the earth, it doesn't matter. Days in Genesis, it doesn't matter. But hold up one second. You think about it. In Matthew 19, when Jesus was questioned about marriage, it's very interesting. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I misspoke there. When he was questioned about divorce, I find that interesting. He's questioned about divorce, and what does he do? He gives a lesson on marriage. I find that interesting.
Yes.
You want to know about divorce? You need to know what marriage is. But anyway, I digress. Sorry.
Yes.
I run down bunny trails. But you think about it. When he was questioned, what did he do? He said that Adam and Eve were there from the beginning. So if anybody ought to know, if Adam and Eve, when they came onto the scene, Jesus ought to know. And when we say, oh, those days in Genesis don't matter, excuse me. If you've got millions of years before Adam ever came along, then Jesus Christ couldn't even get that right, because he said Adam and Eve were there from the beginning. So you start messing around with that age of the earth and days in Genesis thing, you truly start destroying the gospel message. You start destroying what Jesus Christ taught. He quoted, and by the way, he took Genesis as real history. He quoted it 25 times. And in that little simple passage here in Matthew 19, he quoted Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He took it as real history.
Absolutely. Now, if it's interesting, isn't it? We've talked about all human beings, therefore, being descended from Adam, and Eve being the mother of all living. It's interesting that there are some evolutionists who will pick up on that in a way. And there are many evolutionists today who will say, well, we are actually all descended from one woman, the sort of mitochondrial Eve.
Right, right.
Why are they saying things like that?
Well, because science, I tell people all the time, be patient, give science time, they'll catch up to reality. You see, in the past, when we started compromising, and the world told us, science said, well, hey, whites are up here more highly evolved than the blacks who are down here. When you believe that, it has consequences to the way that you live your life. What has happened is that science has caught up to reality. Through mitochondrial DNA, through Y chromosome studies, they now know that every person on this planet does go back to one man and one woman. And so they're arguing about how long ago it was and that type of information, but the fact that we all go back to one man and one woman, and that there's only one race, the human race, that is exactly what scientists are showing today. And I say, see, the Word of God has been telling us that all along. And if we, the body of Christ, had stood on that before that mitochondrial DNA and Y chromosome stuff ever came along, if we had stood on that and said, I don't care what you think, this is what God said, he knows, he was there, I don't think we would have the problems that we have in our world today. That's why Christians need to have a backbone, even when we don't understand something and may not have a quote-unquote scientific explanation for something. When God tells us something very clearly, we've got to allow him to be our authority and our standard. He's the rabbi, we're the disciple. And as a disciple, we're supposed to look like, act like, talk like, and even smell like the rabbi. Now, I don't know what Jesus smelled like, but I know what he talked like, and I know how he acted, because he gave me his word and told me.
Yes, and of course, when the scientists are telling us that that we're all evolved, if you like, from a common ancestor, they are catching up to the Bible. But it's not inevitable that if you believe in evolution, you'll believe that. In fact, it's actually not very consistent, right, is it? And a more consistent evolutionary position would be that different people in different areas could have evolved at different rates.
Right.
Are there some examples from the past of people having taken those sort of views in different ways, so that you can see that really racism is inevitable if you take a purist evolutionary approach?
I'll tell you, let me give you a quote. I just find this kind of interesting because I read these quotes when I do my talks, and this is a direct quote. "The goal was to immediately sterilize 14 million people and millions more worldwide. The lower tenth, and then continuously eradicate the remaining lowest tenth until only a pure Nordic super race remained." I wonder what nation we're talking about here. Let me go on.
Most people.
Let me give you another one. "Leaders of the ophthalmology profession conducted a long and chilling political campaign to round up and coercively sterilize every person with a vision problem, and eventually over 60,000 people were sterilized." And I ask the audience all the time, what nation are we talking about? And you know the answer to that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Nazi Germany, doesn't it?
But it's not. And let me finish the quote. And this is a direct quote from a non-Christian source. It's a book that's called War Against the Weak. It will turn your stomach. It is so powerful. "All of this churned throughout America years before the Third Reich rose in Germany. We did the research. The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, those institutions with huge money absolutely did the research, carried it out. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, all of these folks were actively involved in getting rid of the inferior race, the useless weeds as they were classified. We were doing all that stuff. Hitler took the research we did and implemented it to kill the millions of Jews and gypsies, what he called useless eaters. We did the research, and we did it in a time in our history in America, in the 1930s, 40s, those years when we were a whole lot, quote-unquote, more Christian than we are today. And we did it because we said Jesus with our lips, but we did not truly allow the Word of God to be our authority and our standard. We let, quote-unquote, science teach us that whites were more highly evolved than the blacks. We're down there closer to the missing link. There are consequences to what you believe about the past, and that's why we have to, when we don't have an answer to something, be patient, give science time, we'll catch up to reality, but God has told us what happened. We can trust His Word."
Yes, and these sort of things have gone on in the past, and it's led to various shameful episodes, such as I know that our colleague and President Ken Ham has often talked about the way that Australian Aborigines were treated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could find in the Natural History Museum documents on basically how to catch your Aborigine and skin him and mount him for display, treating him in a way that today we don't even want to treat animals.
That's right. "Between 5,000 and 10,000 graves were dug up and desecrated. Charles Darwin's grandfather was one of the ones doing the digging. And here's something, and this is not to be disrespectful to the British audience in any way, shape, or form. America has, like I said, we've got just as bad a history on some issues as well. But this is another direct quote from you. Now that you went down that road, it made me remember this. "Thousands of Aboriginal bones are still being held in Britain's Victorian collections, but at the moment, national institutions like the Natural History Museum can't return them to Australia without a change in the law." And this next quote is a direct quote. Why scientists don't want to give them back. "Scientists here are concerned that if these bones go back, their value for scientific research will be lost forever." These are human beings. These are human beings. But here's a point, and this is something that I try to point out to people. Do you understand something? If evolution is true, and whites are more highly evolved than blacks, and the blacks are down there closer to the missing link, what is wrong with that belief system? Absolutely nothing, because some are better than others. The only reason we can stand and say, this is wrong, these are human beings, they need to be given back, their bones need to be turned back to their ancestors so they can be given a proper burial, is because God said we are created in His image, and every person on this planet is a human being, created in the image of God, fearfully, wonderfully made, literally knit together in our mother's womb after our Creator.
You're listening to Answers UK Radio. More on the interview with Carl Kirby in the second part after this. Carl Kirby uses a trip down the Grand Canyon to talk about gaining hope and peace as the rapids of life churn and surge around us.
Let's start off in the Word of God here. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Guys, I got to be honest with you. That verse did not make sense to me. Remember, 24 and a half years I spent as an air traffic controller, and I can guarantee you this. I never walked into the radar room and gloried in my infirmities. Hey, guys, I'm not very good. You know, I'm really not that good of a controller. I'm pretty bad. You know what I'm saying? You walk into that environment with that type of an attitude, they're going to bounce you out on your ear. I couldn't understand this verse. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Hey, I'm really pretty weak. Doesn't make sense from my physical sense. I had a real difficult time with this verse.
Enjoy the Ride is available from Answers in Genesis in the UK, price £10. The following audio is a trailer for the movie Time Changer, now available on DVD from Answers in Genesis in the UK.
It is 1890, and for one Bible professor, the times are changing.
Records are showing that over 5% of marriages end in divorce.
But he's about to discover...
Morris, what is happening?
Things could be a lot worse.
October 21st, 2000.
Now, in the 21st century...
Must have come in on a long trip, huh?
One could say that.
Russell Carlyle will come face to face...
Oh, my.
...with a future he never imagined.
Young lady, you do understand that stealing is a sin.
Says who?
And the only way he can make a difference...
This is an extremely critical time for the church.
...is to turn back the clock.
We're going to find out what's going on.
D. David Morin, Gavin McLeod, Hal Linden, Jennifer O'Neill, and Paul Rodriguez.
What are you, man? Some kind of preacher?
In a Rich Cristiano film.
What's wrong with you? You been living in 1890s or something?
Time Changer.
You must see for yourself what happens in the future.
In theaters October 25th.
Time Changer is available in the UK on DVD from answersingenesis.org/UK, price £14. Welcome back. You're listening to Answers UK Radio with me, Paul Taylor, the senior speaker of Answers in Genesis UK and Europe. We're talking to Carl Kirby, and the subject that we're discussing is racism and what the Bible has to say about the so-called different races.
So, you see, they're consistent with the worldview, but the Christian who says that, the earth is millions of years and, you know, you can get all these different races over evolution, God used it, God directed it, and we want to blame God on that mess. You truly do some damage to the text.
Mm. We're making the case here in our conversation, aren't we, Carl, that the Bible is opposed to racism, that when we start from the Bible, we look at things through biblical glasses, we will not be racists. Absolutely. But of course, you know, you go to Down House where Charles Darwin grew up, and you hear the commentaries, the audio commentaries as you travel around from Sir David Attenborough and the like, and it's talking about what a wonderful man Darwin was, how, you know, beggars coming to the door were fed and things like that, and it's just absolutely, really, they're not biographers, they're hagiographers told about him. Marvelous man. So can we actually blame racism at all in any way on Charles Darwin?
I don't think so, Paul. I really don't, because I believe racism is shown to have been around for a long time before Darwin ever came along. So I don't believe that he is directly responsible for it, but I find it interesting. You and I both know that he didn't invent evolution anyway. He just came up with a mechanism that popularized it. So, you know, he just came up with something that made it understandable so lay people kind of fell in line with it. But a man named Dr. Stephen Jay Gould, who was not a very strong supporter of Christians or creationists at all.
Oh, no, he hated Christians.
he made an interesting quote, though, that, let me read it to you. He says this, biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory. You see, he recognized that mechanism taught, once people bought off on the fact that whites are more highly evolved than blacks who are down here, it gave a scientific justification to hate people that look different than us. So he didn't cause it. It was around, but it did give a mechanism for people to start making snap judgments, because I could look at you and make a decision of, well, I know where you fit. You're down there closer to that missing link than I am. I'm more superior because I'm light-skinned.
That's right. Or because I'm a throwback because I've got red hair or something.
Right, exactly.
Yes. I mean, Darwin used this sort of background, didn't he, in the way he spoke. You know, some of the things he wrote, say, about the Fuegian people when he came across those, and talking about savages and so on. And it's not simply a question of using language that was being used at that time, because we've got documents, haven't we, from, for example, we've got documents of when Columbus met the Fuegian people, and he talked about them positively. And yet Darwin talked about them in disparaging terms, saying they're savages and really not, clearly by their appearance, not as evolved.
What you believe about where you come from impacts the way that you live your life and the way that you treat people. And that's something that a lot of Christians really have to grab a hold of, because still in our church today, we have far too many that are trying to straddle the fence, so to speak, trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God. We can't do it. Until we, the body of Christ, are willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, we're never going to get the outside world to come along with us, because they see, and let's call it what it is, the hypocrisy of saying Jesus with our lips, but living like the world with our lives. So that's why we have to be the ones that are catalysts for change. And I know that's a key word in America. It may not be such a key word over here. But brother, we need change in the church, but real change, not superficial.
You're listening to Answers UK Radio, and I'm talking to Carl Kirby, one of the speakers with Answers in Genesis in the United States. And we're talking about the whole subject of racism and what the Bible has got to say on the subject. And we've established the point together that we believe that the biblical position is that racism is wrong. The biblical position is that we're all of one race, the human race, and that although many evolutionists, most evolutionists today, are not racist and are opposed to racism, yet we can make the case that they're being inconsistent with their evolutionism, and that in a pure form, evolutionism is actually a friend of racism. You know, we certainly have small racist partisan organizations in the United Kingdom who claim to be sort of scientific in inverted commas and talk about evolution and different methods or different rates of evolution.
Hey, Paul, let me jump in on this, because I think this is a point that some of the people might be saying. It's like, well, hold up, you've got your conservative Christian group that are racist too.
Right.
You've got your KKK and all those folks. My point would be this, that those that claim the name of Jesus Christ and hate somebody because they have a different skin color are inconsistent with what the Word of God teaches.
Yes.
So, yes, we have those that name the name of Jesus and are inconsistent, but they're inconsistent with what the Word of God teaches. But those that don't believe in God and have adopted the evolutionary system are absolutely consistent with the fact that, hey, there are some people groups that are better than other people groups. Yes. So there's the major difference. One is consistent with and the other is inconsistent with their worldview.
Yes. I was going to raise this point because it is something that I have been asked about in some churches, and people have wanted to ask and suggest that different people groups are of different origins and want to make, and they're not really clear in their mind what that is, but they want to ask that. So there is, we have to admit, we have to confess, within churches, within evangelical churches, there is quite frequently a racism.
Absolutely.
And what we're saying here then is that racism is inconsistent with the Bible.
Yes.
Now, what sort of particular problems are we picking out here? The sort of errors that you are finding in conservative or in evangelical churches?
You know, it's interesting. I was supposed to speak in Johnson City, Tennessee. A church called up, wanted me to speak, and I was talking with the pastor after he started advertising the event. And this guy was excited. He called back so excited. He said, Carl, I've never gotten phone calls for a speaker coming to our church before. He said, I've had people call from three different states. He's excited. 10 minutes later, he canceled the speaking event. Whoa, I'm pretty good with PR, right? If you guys in UK want to hire me for a PR, I'm going to start a firm. And, you know, I'm really good. Went from 10 minutes, you know, of excited, 10 minutes later to canceling. Why? He found out that my wife was Japanese. And this pastor said to me, and this is not a weirdo, wacko cult. This is a mainline denomination. He said to me, he said, Carl, the church bylaws state that if we let a man who's in an interracial marriage speak in our pulpit, the pastor would be removed from ministry. I can't let you speak. And I told him, I said, Pastor, 1 Corinthians 15:45, Genesis 3:20, Acts 17:26, there is no such thing as interracial marriage. There's only one race, the human race. How can you justify that? And he said, Carl, I can't let you speak. I've had people walk out on me in the church. I've had people come up to me, well, Carl, robins breed with robins and blue jays breed with blue jays, and now you're trying to mix it all back together. I'm like, can you give me a scripture verse on that one? I don't think I've ever read that anywhere in the scripture. So we in the church have definitely dropped the ball. I've had deacons come up to me with questions.
I just put in that analogy, of course, doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because robins of slightly different shade will breed with robins.
It is. We have gotten silly. I mean, we really have gotten silly, and the reason that we've gotten silly is because we lost the authority of the Word of God. And when we start trying to do things in our wisdom, God tells us about how good our wisdom is. It leads to death. And we need to stop being wise in our own eyes and be wise in God's eyes.
That's right. I mean, it's interesting that sort of analogy was picked up. And how many different skin colors are there, in fact, then?
Well, there's only one skin color, like we teach at Answers in Genesis. But there's the pigment melanin as well as genes that interact to cause the lightness and darkness. But it has nothing to do with the skin color. It's nothing more than a pigment and genes that interact to cause the lightness and darkness. And so, it's the skin color issue is really, it's a non-issue.
Yeah, and how many different shapes of eyes are there?
Oh, my goodness, how many different kind of people are there?
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting because my wife, like I told you, she's a Japanese, and I lived in Japan for 4.5 years, and I've seen Asians with round eyes. I've seen white folks with slanted eyes. I've seen black folks with slanted eyes. I'll never forget, though, when I got married 28 years ago, my grandmother sent a letter. She said this, "She and I will never be friends. You come to my house, I'll be the perfect hostess, but she and I will never be friends because your children will always have those eyes." I mean, that is really, this is my own personal life. She's seen her grandchildren. They're 27 and 26. My children, 27 and 26. She's seen them twice in their lifetime. What you believe about where people come from impacts the way that you live your life. And we just can't do this anymore, Christian. We've got to wake up and realize God knows better than what we do. And he said there's one race, the human race. Every person is in need of that Savior named Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And, of course, many of these people who are making these sort of assumptions, they haven't read the Bible properly. Yeah. They're perhaps assuming that Jesus was a white Caucasian of some sort. And it's one of the reasons why, personally, I find pictures of Jesus rather difficult anyway, because we don't actually know what he looked like. But he certainly would not have looked like the sort of white European image that so many people have of him.
I'll tell you what, there's a place in America, down in Florida, where you can go down and they have a recreation of what Jerusalem looks like and this type of a thing. It's called the Holy Land Experience. And one of their films is about creation. And I went in thinking, wow, this is going to be good. And I walked in and they had Adam and Eve shown. And Eve is blonde hair, blue-eyed, with the bikini tan line. Now, I'm not looking, man, but I mean, it just jumps out at you. I mean, come on. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you're like, hello? Bikini tan line. There weren't any bikinis when she was first created. And blonde hair, blue-eyed, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. If you start with the middle brown folks, and this is what we teach, you know this, that Answers in Genesis. If you start with middle brown folks, you can get light to dark in one generation. And here in England, there's examples of that very easily. There's one couple that's had two sets of twins twice here in England, and their children are multi-toned, one light, one dark. So.
Yes, I mean, that's I know the picture you're thinking of, and maybe some of our listeners have seen that picture, and they're beautiful children, absolutely beautiful children. And this is the way that God's world works.
You think about it. God loves diversity. He think of the amazing world that he created, the beautifulness, the amazing colors and design, and then we start trying to destroy it. I don't know, man. There's a quote by Voltaire that I find very interesting. Those who make you believe in absurdities make you commit atrocities. One of the major absurdities in my mind is, in this world today, is that given enough time, right circumstances, an amoeba can turn into a worm, to grow legs, to crawl out on the land, to become an amphibian, to turn into a mammal, a rat, to turn into a wolf, to go back into the ocean, to become a blue whale. When we adopted that absurdity and applied it to man, you better believe we started committing atrocities.
Absolutely. That's an interesting analogy, that, isn't it? It just reminded me, actually, it's about the slight bunny trillers, but I do know one creation speaker, and he'll know who he is if he's listening to this, that he says, you know how evolution works, don't you, that molecules are supposed to have got together to make single-celled organisms, and single-celled organisms got together and made amoebas, and amoebas got together and made worms, and worms got together and made politicians. And
ouch.
Yeah, but I mean, we've really sort of hammered this point home today, Carl. But perhaps to finish with, we've made a case to show that we are all of one race, the human race. That this is what the Bible teaches, as the Apostle Paul says in Acts 17, we're all of one blood. But does this actually matter? Does it really matter if a church wants to take a particular position on this? Does it actually matter?
I would say that it matters because of the scriptural authority issue.
Yes.
that is absolutely the fundamental issue that we in the church have got to start getting right. And when God said that he created one man and one woman, and I don't accept that, and that every person on this planet goes back to it, and I don't accept that, what I do is I approach the Word of God with, and this is my way that I put things, a mentality that is like this. God, I know what you wrote, but let me tell you what you meant because you didn't quite understand. I know you said you created one man and one woman, but you didn't understand things, God. So, you know, we got whites up here more highly evolved than the blacks are down here, so we're going to help you out here, God. And when we approach God's Word with that mentality, you better believe we're going to end up in some ugly places. Let's look at history.
And there are a lot of ugly conflicts have happened because of this. A lot of ugly situations have happened on a big scale and on a small scale. And we see it. We see it even today. We see it in our inner cities on both sides of the Atlantic. And we see it in the sort of actions, unfortunately, regrettably, of our churches. The churches that will not take the Word of God seriously and the implications that are there. And it's an undermining of the gospel, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about his work and his salvation.
Remember, as a Christian, we are disciples of the rabbi. And we're supposed to look like, act like, talk like, walk like, smell like the rabbi. And he most definitely did not show favoritism to people based on any kind of exterior. He knew each and every one of us personally, knows each and every one of us personally, and died for each and every one of us. And for me to start putting snap judgments on people based on what they look like on the outside goes contrary to what the Scripture tells us to do. And we need to be obedient to God's Word, not man's opinion.
Absolutely. And perhaps just to close with you, what was the quote, the biblical quote that you came out with right at the beginning, God speaking to Samuel?
Yeah. His choice. Well, in Samuel, it's a very powerful verse. Because, you know, God tells us again, we do not want to make judgments based on the outside. God does not look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And I say this, when we look at people the way that God looked at people, every one of us has a sinner in need of a Savior named Jesus Christ. And he died for us. He provided that salvation for every person because we are all related to that first Adam, so that last Adam could die for us and redeem us.
Amen. Carl Kirby, thank you so much for being with us. That was Answers UK Radio, a magazine-style radio program podcasted over the internet. It's available from answersingenesis.org/UK or aukpodcast.com. The podcast can also be obtained free through iTunes. Just search for Answers UK Radio. If you have any comments on this show, then email us at radio@answersingenesis.org.uk. The music at the opening and at the close of the program is called Not Myself, and it's taken from the album Light and Life by Richard Alexander, available from Answers in Genesis UK at a price of £8. If you want to purchase the CD Light and Life by Richard Alexander, or if you want to purchase any of the other products mentioned on this or any of our other podcasts, then please contact us at answersingenesis.org/UK or call us on 0116 270 8400. Keep your podcasting software or iTunes up to date so that you don't miss a single episode of Answers UK Radio. Goodbye. God bless.
It's me who God will make me. When at his feet I bow, and will me then become me, forever then the same. I change, he changes not at all. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, glory to him.